It's my pleasure to introduce Rebecca Coyle, who will be giving the first presentation. Rebecca has worked in the field of immunizations for the last 9 years in a variety of roles. She was the Idaho Immunization Program Manager for 3.5 years, before that a CDC Public Health Advisor to the state of Minnesota, and she is now the Executive Director of ERA, I'm really pleased to say. So with that, Rebecca, please take your place.
Thank you, Sherry. Good morning. As Sherry said, we've all made it to Thursday. I know it feels like about Saturday at this point, but thank you all for hanging in there. So before we get going, I know audience participation in the morning is not fun, but how many of you have heard of ERA and are a member of ERA? Okay, for those of you that don't have your hands up, I want to talk to you later. All right. No, I really was curious because I see a lot of familiar faces in the audience, and I have to tell you, you know, I've kind of known a lot of the other folks in immunizations, but I haven't known as many of the IIS folks, so this has really been a treat to get to meet everybody this past week. So I want to start off by giving you a little bit of background with ERA, and I think for some of you that have been with the organization for a number of years, this is really nothing new. But it began back in 1992 with an All Kids Counts project. There was initial funding from the Robert Wood Johnson grant that allowed the organization to kind of come together, maybe unofficially at that point, and then also to be able to provide technical support, assistance. Really, it was one large maybe support group as the way to identify that, to talk about all of the different issues. And as you all are well aware of in the IIS community, there are issues that range from programmatic to technical to funding. I mean, it really runs the gamut. So this group really organized to help reduce to gain efficiencies and reduce redundancies, which is what we all want, right? So once ERA kind of got off the ground in about 1999, started off with no funding once the Robert Wood Johnson grant ended, it really became, I mean, there was obviously a need that was demonstrated amongst the members in the organization that needed to continue. So right away, ERA struck out with a vision and a mission. And I think it's changed maybe a little bit, but overall, the vision and mission has remained relatively the same. And we want a healthy, fully immunized community supported by the electronic sharing of information. And the mission is to promote the electronic use, tracking, and sharing of complete immunization records for people of all ages. So we want to have that all-inclusive, very large community. We also want to be able to support the IIS community to promote the development of new technologies and promote the interoperability. And boy, isn't that the key word of the year, interoperability. So membership, what the membership looks like right now, we have over 150 members that represent over 30 state and regional public health agencies. We have 6 businesses, which include both vendors and also private consultants. There's also 4 affiliates, which are other nonprofit agencies, and then also 5 individuals that are part of the ERA members. And I think what's very key about this organization is that it really has a lot of partnerships, and without the partnerships, I don't think it would be as successful as it is. I think we start with one of the largest partnerships, and that's with CDC and the IISB branch. There's also AIM program managers. Without them, we certainly need their support to really move forward. Every Child by Two, PHII, I won't read all of those, but it's a very lengthy list. So I think one of the things that I've noticed, and again, I'm very new to this role, and I think it was a blessing and a curse that I didn't really know much about ERA when I came to ERA. I mean, I knew about it. I thought I was paying my dues as a program manager. I have learned that I was not. So I'm on the new program manager to get that fixed. But I think one of the things that I recognize right away is that this organization is absolutely volunteer-driven. And I have never seen a more enthusiastic group of volunteers that are willing to, you know, on every phone call, yes, I'm willing to do that. I will sign up. I will work to get this survey put out. I will work to get this newsletter put together. Again, if you are one of those volunteers, I am thanking you sincerely. You all do such an amazing job. And again, I think that's, like I said, I think that's really the cornerstone of the organization. And then from there, I think initially when it was started, there wasn't any staff, but very quickly it was recognized that staff was needed to really kind of further the organization and make it successful. So then CDC was able to find some funds, and AIRA was able to go out and apply for a cooperative agreement. And that's how we receive a bulk of our funding at this point in time, is through a cooperative agreement with CDC. And then prior to me joining the organization, about last year, the board really looked at the way the organization was run and whether things could be done more efficiently. And so there's recently been a very fresh look at the way the organization is managed. And now we have kind of a different structure, and I think it's really kind of a neat setup in that there's an association management company. And what that association management company does is they are able to provide, you know, the finance guy, the marketing guy, the administrative support. That's very difficult when you have a small organization. You need those folks at some point in time, but you are not able to afford to have them on staff all the time. So with this setup, this allows us to access those folks when needed, but also when we don't need them, they're still kind of in the background. And then for many of you that are familiar with AIRA, we also have Jen Bank, who is with the association, and she provides the programmatic support right now. And I have to tell you, it's been a real pleasure working with her, and it's been a virtual relationship this whole time because she's physically located here in D.C., and then I'm actually still in Idaho. But she get stuff out. It's really been neat to have a phone conversation with her and then see her really take off from there. The other part of the organization that I think is also very important is that we recognize that not all of the volunteers are going to be able to do everything. And so when it becomes necessary, we're able to reach out and hire consultants that can really further the work and make sure that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. So in terms of the actual board side of things and more of the membership side, AIRA is operated by a board of directors, and both Sherry and Laura are on the board. And then now there's a setup with four committees. Right now we have the strategic planning, the committees that are really kind of the organizational backbone in terms of how the organization's set up. So there's a strategic planning committee, a bylaws committee, a finance committee, and then a nominating and membership committee. So I would like to take just a minute to kind of go through those committees. And if you're not currently on a committee and I start talking about something that sounds interesting, please feel free to grab me afterwards. I'd love to get you connected with that committee. So I think if you've been around for a little while, you know that they've kind of changed. There have been a number of work groups, a number of different steering committees over the previous years, and these are some of them. However, at this point in time, we are down to four steering committees. We have the Education Steering Committee, which is I'll tell you what they're responsible for here in a minute. Also the Standards and Interoperability Steering Committee, the Assessment Steering Committee, and then the MIRAO, or the Modeling Immunization Registry Operations Work Group, which Laura is going to talk a little bit about their work shortly. So let me talk again a little bit more about the education. So the purpose here is really to promote the standards and best practices through informational and educational activities. So this group utilizes a number of different methods to help get that information out. There are a number of face-to-face meetings. Prior to this conference kicking off on Sunday, I don't know what day it is anymore. On Sunday, we hosted workshops, and we had a morning and afternoon session that were, I think, very well attended. So this is something that the Education Committee assisted with there. They also produce Snapshots, which is our quarterly newsletter. It's typically available online, although we did have some printed versions available for this conference. There's also webinars on timely topics. I think we just had one on interstate data sharing. And then I think coming up, we're going to try and not necessarily reinvent the wheel, but kind of capture what we talked about at the workshops for those that were not able to attend the conference. There's also regional forums that have been hosted in the past, workshops, and then one of the large projects we'll be undertaking shortly is facelifting the website and really updating the content. So some of the topics for the next 2 years are how to develop technical specifications for an IIS, how to develop RFP elements, and I think this is key if you've ever had to put together an IIS RFP, which I've had to do, and I was not good at it, but I relied on the community to help me. Also, project management skills. So I think we've recognized that, you know, hey, this is really a big project that needs to be managed. How can we do that in an efficient way? And then also other topics that we identify through a survey that will be going out following this conference to really assess the educational needs of the community. The Standards and Interoperability Steering Committee is now kind of a newer committee that really is comprised of a variety of different work groups in the past. So really what they are around to do is to provide the technical support and guidance to ERA members, to provide the executive board kind of where we need to go, as well as the board members, and then also act as a national liaison to some of these organizations such as ONC, which is a very key group, also HL7 and PHII. So some of the technical work I think that they've done is really assist in the implementation of HL7 messaging by IIS and the partners. They also support the vocabulary and standardization efforts, which I'm sure Rob's in the room, so he's very key in that work. Moving into the Assessment Steering Committee, this is a brand new steering committee. I think there's been a real need identified to have standards for evaluating something. How many times do you call your colleagues in another state and say, hey, I would like to know how you measure this, because we've been measuring it this other way. And you recognize very shortly that what you think are the same things are not. And so it's very difficult to try and compare your results with their results and have any kind of continuity. So this group was recently formed, and Sherry is one of the co-chairs. And what their goal is to develop an assessment tool to really evaluate the processes and purposes of improving data quality, which who doesn't want to improve data quality? They also are looking at finalizing a tool and a business plan for ongoing implementation, which will be one of the products of this committee. Now, the MIRAL Steering Committee has been around for a while, and you'll probably have recognized a lot of their work, but they typically will take an issue that would benefit the overall community as a whole, and they kind of attack it, and they dive in, they really dissect that issue, they identify subject matter experts throughout the country, and they work to come up with recommendations or best practices for that specific issue. So right now there are four chapters. The fifth chapter is in development, and Laura's going to talk a little bit more about that. These represent our mini-guides, and so there is a short and sweet version of each of the topics that have been addressed, which include improving the quality of data entering an IIS, reminder recall, patient deduplication. So if you want the Cliff Notes look very pretty, but then there's also a very large document that goes with that that really will get into the weeds. One of the other areas that I think is very unique of this organization is they really try to recognize folks that are achieving excellence, and they have the Centers of Excellence Awards. So this has been given annually since 2004. It's awarded to an IIS or several IISs that have shown innovative and effectiveness in IIS data in their programs. So this year, we actually awarded four Center of Excellence Awards. And the first award went to the main immunization registry on the interim. And we actually had two topics this year because it's very difficult to try and drill down to just one topic. So on the interoperability side, Maine had a very creative project, as did the New York Citywide Immunization Registry in cooperation with the New York Presbyterian Hospital. And then on the other side, we were kind of looking more at the programmatic data use. And so both Colorado and South Dakota had some very cool projects, and I really wish that we all had an opportunity to hear more about those. So like I said earlier, you can visit our website to find useful materials. I am not going to lie, it may be difficult to find some of those useful materials, but that will be a challenge that we are taking on to make that more user-friendly and to be able to get you those resources that you need very shortly. But again, there is good information on there, or if you just can't find it, please feel free to give me a call or send me an email, and I'll be happy to direct you to those different documents. Again, if you're not an ERA member, please see me afterwards. I'd love to talk to you about the benefits of membership and joining the organization. And like I said, I think it started off maybe as a support group. I think it's still a very large support group, and it's great to be able to get together with your colleagues and share ideas and concerns in a non-threatening environment. And you get to hear all kinds of great things. I mean, there's really a very good return on your benefit. I mean, it's great. So with that, I will just leave my phone number up there and then our emails. Please feel free to contact myself or Emily and even Sherry, who I know she's trying to get out of the role here. But I did leave her name and email address up there. So I think any of us would be happy to talk to you about your concerns or questions.